Does God exist? This may surprise you, but so many people all over the world are asking this question. In fact, a Pew research shows that 90% of all Americans sense that there is some kind of higher power. About half of them feel that they believe in God in the biblical, religious sense, but more and more people have more questions and need more answers. Some of them have a more heartfelt approach. They feel there must be some sort of loving higher power. Others are more rational. They look at nature, its complexity, and say there must be some sort of higher intelligence that planned it all. Whatever the reasoning, though, there is a natural need in people to feel a higher power that is encompassing and purposeful. So I sat with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lightman and asked him some questions. I asked him, does God exist? And if he does, why can't we see him? Why can't we perceive him? And can we get a more definite answer about God? I asked him if we can get a scientific answer. Can we prove that he exists? The answers that I got were fascinating and so unlike anything that I've heard before. Let's take a look. So the first question I wanted to ask you is, does God exist? And if he exists, how come we can't perceive him or see him?
God is nature. It's simply everything there is. Besides, let's say besides man, who has free choice, then besides his free choice, everything else belongs to God.
Okay.
Meaning, it's the entire nature of this entire world and all the worlds, everything there can be, even those things that we don't know about. All of this is a part of that concept called God. What do we have besides God? Inside us, there is this one small desire to attain God. And the desire to attain God exists outside of God in order to attain Him. That's it.
So what is God? Why can't we see Him if He does exist?
It's a law. What? Where can you see a law? You see a law when it's already realized in some kind of matter, when it acts, when you see its actions already, but we don't see it in and of itself. Do we see electricity? We don't. Do we see light? No. We see that something moves, that something happens, the results of the forces. This is what we see. Same with God. Everything that happens here around us, these are all results of Him. But we can't see God Himself. Do we see gravity? No. I know that if I hold something in the air and let it go, it'll fall. There's a force that's working on it. This force is called gravity. The same with the force of God. It's a force that includes in it everything there is in the still, vegetative, animate, and people on different levels, in different forms and ways, in the past, present, and future. This entire universal form that's working on us is called God.
So why is it that so many people have a feeling that God loves them, cares for them, and protects them?
Because we see that we're developing, and that our development is a goal-oriented one. We don't exactly know according to what laws, but we see that this is how it is. In all of the laws of nature, we see great wisdom that we really can't even imagine how tremendous and universal the system is, that it includes everything there is. It's all called God, besides one thing that's hidden from us, but we see Him according to His actions, and we can research Him, and through His actions, we can attain Him. It's called, from your actions, do we know you?
Okay, what does that mean, to attain God?
That I will know all of His laws, I'll know all the ways in which He influences us, the entire world, and from learning Him, I can improve so much that I'll be able to feel Him and to get to know Him, to come closer to Him, to really be His partner.
How can we build a relationship with God?
The only way we can build a relationship is only through equivalence of form. That if I keep those same rules that the wisdom of Kabbalah explains about, the same rules by which God works too. Then, through my behavior, I start getting to know Him.
What do you mean by getting to know Him?
Suppose there's a certain person, and this person behaves in a certain way. But I don't understand his behavior, his language, his mentality. I'm not familiar with the way he behaves. Or suppose he's an Indian or from some other place. It's just that I met them in South America. And I didn't know them. They came down from the Andes in order to meet me. They actually discovered that a Kabbalist is coming. And they wanted to meet me. So they came down from the Andes. I met them. I talked to them. We were in the same hotel for 2 days. And we had long talks. Until I started feeling them. Because it's really something very different. And it's the same with God. So the wisdom of Kabbalah explains what are the laws according to which He exists. How does He behave with us? And if we want to feel Him, understand Him, investigate Him, really come closer to Him, we have to keep such and such rules.
So I'd like to hear more about that. What are these rules? What is this behavior we need to know more about?
The rules are simple. The rules are according to the one law of love another as thyself. If I start loving others, I start loving the world, I start loving everyone, then I come closer to the Creator.
How can we experience this? What does it actually feel like? Let's say that I change my behavior.
I love someone. I feel him more than if I hate him. I'm closer to him, as if penetrate him. What he hates, I hate. What he loves, I love. We're very close. We don't even have to talk if we're that close. The very same way I come closer to God.
Just like with another person?
Yeah. It says that God shall not be foreign to you.
So how can we start to do this?
I start exercising with other people. As it says, from love the created beings to love the Creator. And then we reach a state where I come closer to Him. And I simply start feeling Him. I start feeling that He's close.
Does He talk to you? Can you hear Him?
It's as if He's talking, listening. We're simply close. We understand each other. It's not that I talk to Him verbally, but we speak the language of feelings.
And how is this connected to your relationships with others? You said I need to love others more.
In order to come closer to God, I first of all have to come closer to people.
Why?
This law of loving others. The Creator is the force of love. And I'm the very opposite. I was created in the force of hatred, ego. And therefore, in order to come closer to Him, I have to perform many exercises in order to invert my egoistic nature into a nature of love and giving.
So then you can feel Him when you've changed your own behavior to be more loving, more giving. But what does it mean to feel Him? Do you feel His love?
I start feeling Him the same way I feel people around me, and even much closer and stronger.
And anyone can do this?
Anyone. And eventually, everyone has to develop into this.
So we said that God exists and that God is a law of love and giving. How does God influence us in our everyday lives?
He created us opposite to Him in the nature of reception. And His nature is bestowal. Our nature is hate. His nature is love. And so, He's working on us in order to take us through a very lengthy kind of change. From being His complete opposite, from hating others and also hating Him, to loving others and loving the Creator. This is the entire process that we go through.
Okay, and how does He influence our lives?
Everything that He does is in order for us to change from hating to loving each other, and from loving each other to loving Him. And therefore, we just have to pay attention to everything that happens to us in life, on each and every step and in each and every moment. Everything that happens is in order to make us a bit more like Him.
So God is organizing the events in my life so that I would
change and become like Him.
Which means what? To be more loving?
More loving, giving, bestowing to and caring for everyone. And then you become like the Creator. You feel yourself in a whole and complete degree, in a state of wholeness and perfection, which is truly an infinite degree, beyond life and death, good and bad, and we have to attain all of this.
Can we prove scientifically that God exists? Many people are asking this question.
No. Man himself becomes the subject for scientific research.
What does that mean?
If I want to prove something, then I have to build a device for it. This is how it is in physics, chemistry, and every science. Every science has its own instruments. Here the device is man himself, that he calibrates himself in such a way that he resembles the Creator, and then accordingly measures how did his qualities change, and how does it influence him, and how does he resemble the Creator, and accordingly, what does he feel and attain, and so on.
You actually have a background in science. You're a scientist. So would you say that you scientifically researched God and His discovery?
True. This is how it is. This is also what's customary among Kabbalists. This is why they write books. And each of the Kabbalists understands what the others write, like in science. Only the thing here is that man himself has to change. In physics, a person doesn't have to change, in mathematics, or in any other science, whereas here he does, because he examines it on himself.
So then, in order to prove that God exists, I first need to change, and then only when I perceive Him can I research Him?
First change, and then according to your changes, you'll start perceiving Him. And according to your perception, you'll start researching. And accordingly, you'll be able to gather all the information, and from that you'll have a science of your own.
What is the connection between God and the meaning of life? Is there a connection?
Without revealing God, we can't attain the meaning of life. Because the meaning of life means, where are we from? Who has created us? What does He want from us? For what reason? And for what goal? What is this process that we're going through? What do we attain at the end of the way? Who controls us? How can we influence Him? How does He influence us? How should we connect between us in order to influence Him more or less? The wisdom of Kabbalah reveals and teaches all of these things, and any person who's engaged in it attains it all.
So in order to discover this meaning, do I first need to reveal God?
Of course. It's the only way, because He's the source of life. He's the first and also the last in this chain, and also in each and every moment of my advancement from the beginning of creation until its end. How can I know about the entire process and each of its parts if I don't know the Creator? It's the operating and realizing force. It's the motivating force.
So again, each person that wants to discover the meaning of their life can do it, can discover it?
Everyone has to. It's not even a matter of wanting to or being able to, but everyone has to. And therefore, unless you have revealed Him, you'll have to reincarnate and reveal Him.
And if I reveal God, will I discover my own personal meaning in life?
Yes, your own personal meaning. And so will the whole of humanity.
If God exists, why do bad things happen in the world? Why is there so much suffering?
Who promised you that things are going to be good? Because God exists. His existence still doesn't mean anything. God controls the entire reality, and the entire reality, the good and the bad, is sustained and developed only by Him, by this global and universal force, in order to lead us to the recognition of evil and the recognition of good, For this, he has to influence us by two forces, the good and the as if bad forces. And since we're feeling beings, then only by these two reins can we advance.
How can we grasp that, that all this evil is coming from God Himself?
There's none else besides Him. There's only one acting force in the whole of reality.
And He is that good and loving God that...
And also the bad that does all the
bad. So you're saying that all of this is happening in order to advance us?
Were He not to influence us in a positive and negative way, or we're in the middle, then we'd have no free choice.
To choose what?
To choose whatever you want, the good or the bad, or beyond good and bad. And so, this is where we are, in a very special and complex system, very non-simple, but it's what actually gives us the freedom of choice, to choose between the good and the bad, and it actually allows us to become like God, knowing good and bad.
So how can evil come from good? How is it possible that evil is coming from a source that is good and loving?
The force acting upon us is good, but because we're in contrast with it, then our oppositeness from God makes us feel bad.
What do you mean by oppositeness?
Oppositeness means that He always bestows good. And we don't really want that good, because what He sees as good is bestowal, love, connection between everyone, and so on. And we don't really want that because of our egoistic nature. And so we feel His providence as something bad.
What exactly don't we want in this goodness? I mean, we want to feel good, we want to be good, we want there to be love.
We want for us to feel good, according to what we think good is, but not according to what God sees as good.
I'm trying to understand what exactly is the difference between what I perceive as good and His good.
His good is that each of us cares for everyone else. And our good is that each of us cares only for himself.
So good means not that I will feel good, but some kind of altruistic good that everyone will feel good.
Yeah, I can't think only about my own good. Because God thinks globally about all the created beings together. And if I do not think about everyone, I miss some part of creation, then, correspondingly, I cause harm to that part, and therefore, I deserve some kind of punishment. But punishment isn't punishment, it's correction, by which I start understanding, what does He want of me? Where am I still not working correctly?
So how do we reach this goodness, that we feel Him is good, the world is good?
Only by studying the wisdom of Kabbalah in a small group, where we can realize all of the laws of the global and comprehensive nature, and from that we learn how to relate to the whole of nature and God together.
So, in order for us to feel good and not suffer, we each need to become more integral, more global in our approach?
This is the main thing.
And then will suffering end?
There won't be any suffering. Our entire suffering is because we're all disconnected.
And is this a global vision or a personal vision?
It's a global, mutual vision that at the end of our corrections, we return to be as the one soul of Adam HaRishon, literally meaning the first Adam. Well, okay, it's not clear what I said, but...
As one body.
As one desire, one intention, with God inside us.
And why is that what's good? Why will that make us feel better?
Because by this we chase away all the bad influences, all the bad feelings.
Like what, for example? If we're connected as one body, will we not feel empty, lonely, separate?
By that, we bring ourselves back to the beginning of creation, where we were all together connected in one body, and this why we felt ourselves in a state of good called the Garden of Eden. This is how it's called. So we'll return to that.
Okay, and my last question is, who created God?
This isn't the question. Because there is a primordial root to what we call God. Because what we call God is all in all a force that's working on us and that is personally related to us. There is something that's disconnected from us, and that's called in Hebrew atzmuto, his essence, meaning he in and of himself, regardless of us. And this is why it's called his essence. And if we're talking about God, then his essence has formed God, meaning has formed a system that's taking care of us. God is a system of forces.
So God is a system of forces, and the one who created it is...
We can't talk about him, we don't know about him, it's something that we can't touch. We're built in such a way that we can't reach him.
And when you say system of forces, what do you mean by that?
Forces. It means that we and everything else on earth is a system of forces.
And God and everything above him is this system of forces?
It doesn't matter that we call it God. It's a system of forces. It's like doing research in physics or in chemistry or in anything else.
Are we also forces in this system?
Of course we're a part of the system. The thing is that we have to discover this system and become corrected forces in it.
What does it mean that we're corrected forces in the system?
Love another as thyself. This is the comprehensive rule of the system.
You mean that we act harmoniously with each other and with the system?
Yes, but that we ourselves, consciously, willingly, that we activate ourselves and all of our forces to be in a single system.
Okay, so perhaps now you can give us a small tip. I understood throughout our talk that we're living in a system of forces, that there is one governing law of love that is ruling this system, and that I am also a force in the system. So what can we do from now on? How can we change our perspective on life in a small way from now onwards?
Whoever wants to find out about the world that we're living in, what is there after death, and also before that? How to know what is my destiny, how to direct myself in life, has to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. We're open for everyone.
And what will he study there?
He'll study the system.
The system.
The system in which we all are, the system of reality, and how does it work, and how should man manage it and himself in order to have a good life.
Thanks so much. It sounds fascinating.